Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we're giving our attention to Paul's letter to Titus and Titus chapter 2. And one of the major things that comes through this very short chapter is the way in which different age ranges still contribute in vital ways to the body of Christ. When we look at the church in the 21st century, certainly in the UK, what we would discover is a lot of people of one age range. Preferably, that would be elderly. However, the early church was made up of a mixture of ages, and there was a sense in which everyone had a part to play. I've just got back, in fact, as I make these programs, from Colombia, and one of the things about the Colombian church that I noted with great joy was, again, the range of ages. There were some elderly, but there were middle-aged, and there were teenagers, and there were young. The wide range, this is what the gospel is about, reaching men and women, boys and girls, from different backgrounds and from different age groups, but bringing them together as one body in Christ. Paul says to Titus, you must teach sound doctrine. And that's got to be going right through the age groups. Sound doctrine is required for the very youngest as well as the eldest, for men and for women. And he says, look, let the older men be temperate, self-control, sound in faith, in love and endurance. And really, in many ways, he would be encouraging the older men to be an example and to teach the younger men. Temperate, self-controlled, sound in faith. These are wonderful basic characteristics that should be true in those who are older. That brings stability and hope to the rest of the church. Now, the older women, they're encouraged to be reverent. They're encouraged to have, again, a lifestyle that can inspire and encourage the younger women. It seems, from what Titus is told here, that some of the women were adverse to drink. Well, sorry, they weren't adverse to it. They enjoyed it, it seems. That some of them, perhaps widows, perhaps feeling that life had passed them by, weren't caring very much for themselves and for their body and for their diet. And Paul is saying, no, the older women, they've got an incredibly important role to play in bringing up the younger women, helping them to be good wives and good mothers to their children. And it's very important that they are given a lead and example. The young men need to be self-controlled, and they need to recognise their role. And those who are classified as slaves, well, they've still got to behave appropriately in the body of Christ, that they've got to serve their masters well. They've got to be willing to go the extra mile and not just try to get out of things, but to give themselves to serving well and upholding the name of Jesus. And then Paul says this. He says, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for Jesus to return. Paul was masterful in encouraging people to enjoy the grace of God, no longer on the great burden of guilt and pressure, but realizing fully accepted, totally loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, forgiven, accepted, even though we fall short. But what Paul's very much wanted to emphasise is that if you've really tasted the grace of God, then the outcome of that will be that you want to live righteously. He says it doesn't make sense to say I've tasted the grace of God and therefore I'll keep sinning in order to prove how gracious God is. Paul says, no, don't do that. If you've really tasted God's grace, then let your life be full of gratitude because you were bought at a great price. We must stop there. We're going to listen to some worship, and my good friend Patrick will join me to look again at Titus chapter 2.
Shine your light into the darkest corners of my life, Lord. Shine your light, let every sin in shadow be made known. For you are righteous, your love, your grace, your mercy are far-reaching. Shine your light, shine. Your great love within my heart, Lord. Let me feel the hands that bless the children rest on me. Show me more.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've come now to talk to Richard further about these verses from Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2. So, Paul obviously continuing to instruct Titus in what he needs to be doing during his time in Crete. And you made the point, interestingly, about the wide age range that's clearly been touched by the church. you know, you can sometimes look at the church today and it seems to only reach certain people in certain situations, but there does seem to be a sense that the whole range of sort of social and age demographics, if you like, were being met here.
Yes, that's right, and it is important. Obviously, society of that day, the role of a father, the role of a mother, was very, very important, whereas today we may feel it's been delegated to authorities, to school teachers, to different ones. But no, the Bible says, no, as a father, as a mother, you've got a role to play and you must play it. And that's really behind, I think, what he's teaching here.
Yeah. I mean, I guess across all sections of society, roles were perhaps much more clearly defined then than perhaps they are today. But would Paul have believed that people were equal, whether they were, you know, young, old, slave or free?
Yes, I believe he would, because he says we're bought with a price. And he didn't indicate in any sense that there was a different price for different people. It was the same price, the blood of Jesus. And therefore, if Jesus had to pay the same price for you as well as for me, then we're equal. The same price, same cost. Jesus had to die so we could be saved.
He talks about slaves, and this is a question that crops up quite frequently, and sometimes people are critical, because the Bible doesn't seem to condemn slavery in the way that we might do today. It just seems to accept it as part of society. Is there anything, any way that we should view that today?
Well, I think that it's a question of what is important, and I think that what the emphasis in Scripture is not in any sense to gloss over that certain structures, certain ways of treating people are wrong. That is not the point. The point is more to do with how people living within these structures behave and respond. And the encouragement always is that even if you're being badly treated, even if your lot is not fair, make sure that you behave in a righteous and honourable way.
And the final word in this chapter to Titus, he says, do not let anyone despise you. I guess that is the risk that Titus would have run and many other church leaders would have run, that, you know, people don't take any notice of them. They don't respect them.
Well, that is a sizable issue, What Paul is saying is that if you're doing what God wants you to do, he is honouring you. So even if men despise you, don't give in to that. Let God's assessment of you dictate how you respond and live.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. There's one more chapter to go in this short letter to Titus, so we'll look at that next time. But for now, thank you very much indeed. So do join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.